Kingston Town can't win.
Bone Crusher and Al Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend, Winks has done it.
So we're joined for on the first episode of this season's podcast by a legendary trainer, David Hayes. He's a son, of course, of the great Colin Hayes, and now he's got the three sons who have taken over Lindsay Park. He's won all the majors in Australia, including the 1990 WS Cox Plate and 2006. David, thanks for coming on this morning.
It's wonderful to be here. I haven't been here for 3.5 years, and a lot's changed. There's a lot less car parks.
That's right. Well, we want to go in chronological order for this podcast. Your father, C.S. Hayes, he's one of the greats. He's one of only three trainers to be inducted legend status in the Australian Racing Hall of Fame. What are your earliest memories of going to the races with CS and how you became involved in racing?
Yeah, my earliest memories were going to the Adelaide races with Dad, and he'd give me a job, and it used to be to check the horses had the right gear on. So I used to have to tick off if they had a breastplate, blinkers, ring bits, and did a check like I was a steward. And I used to love it, and I was so keen on my racing, I'd learnt to read out of the best bets. So just spent a lot of time following my dad around. Probably helped my racing IQ a lot without knowing.
And he obviously has a great connection to our great race, the WS Cox Plate. So called in 1978, Dulcify in 79, Almirad in 1989. Do you remember each of these and kind of where you were for those races?
Yeah, I do. Firstly, the Cox Plate was Dad's absolute favourite race. He wouldn't even hesitate. He'd say Cox Plate first. I was at boarding school when it won, and he was incredibly thrilled because he was the dominant weight for age horse of the season, and it was great that he could win the grand final, the Cox Plate. Dulcify, I really remember because I was at an athletics meet in year 12, and it was live TV, which was just starting, I think, and someone had a TV at the athletics track, and we watched it, and it certainly helped my 800 metres. It gave me a bit of a lift. It was probably one of the best wins you'll ever see. And, of course, Almirad, it was his last race, and I was Dad's AT right at the end of Dad's career, and it was Dad's last Cox Plate, so he really was revved up to win it. And it was a really big thrill. And unfortunately, he went amiss after that in Bode Tendon.
So obviously it didn't take you long to taste race success. In 1990, you took over Lindsay Park, and Better Loosen Up won the 1990 WS Cox Plate. How was the pressure of taking over CS, and what did a horse like that do for your career?
I inherited a team of Ferraris. So basically, and Better Loosen Up was the number one seed, but Zabil was pretty good as well. And they were, for a long time, favourite and second favourite for the Cox Plate the following year. So Dad stepped out at a really, through poor health, and gave me a wonderful opportunity. I was used to the pressure and trained for it for a long time. So it wasn't as great as some people think. And we were having a wonderful spring that year, and I'd rather take a favourite to the Cox Plate than a 50-to-1 shot.
And you mentioned Better Loosen Up. You took him to the Japan Cup only a month after winning the McKinnon. That's a bit unheard of nowadays. What was it like doing that and then obviously winning on such a big world stage there?
I think there was 100,000-odd there. A bit different than a Melbourne Cup because they're all there for the race, not the booze and the party. Mm. They get 100,000 at a Melbourne Cup, but there's 50,000 of them are revelling and 50,000 probably following it. So that's very different. It was the richest race in the world at the time. So to compete in the richest race in the world against Japan before everyone realised how good the Japanese are, now we all know that they're outstanding. So to go there and beat them was a hell of a thrill. And I think he's the only horse that's ever won, the only Australian horse that's ever won over there. So, you know, it just shows how hard it is. And that was all those years ago.
And what were some of Better Loosen Up's best attributes? Obviously, toughness would have been one of them.
Yeah, look, he was incredibly quiet horse. He was quieter than the stable pony, very lazy in his track work, and then just was so honest and tough on race day and such a fierce competitor, and would get there in the last 50 metres. So it was always a very exciting race when he ran.
And 2006, you had the late, great Fields of Omar win the WS Cox Plate. After acquiring off Tony McAvoy, what can you tell us about Fu and that race day, or just in Fu in general, about and what he was like as a racehorse?
Fu was a star for many years, very underrated horse. He ran in, I think, 5 Cox Plates and ran in the top 5 every time, and won 2. And he won his last race, which was the Cox Plate. Not many horses do that, step out the top, and he was sound. So he was actually in that race the outsider of my two. I had Miss Finland, who was the favourite, and she got in the stewards report 17 times. She got absolutely hammered. Lisa Kropp had a bad day, and Fu was meant to be racing on the pace, missed the start, and came from last. So it just shows how versatile the old boy was, and he ran down El Segundo, who won the race the following year. So. It was a huge win and went out right on top.
And he's the only 9-year-old to have ever won the WS Cox Plate. He might not have been considered a champion back then, but how do you look back on him now with what he's done in racing and after?
I think history, Cox Plate time, he will always get a mention because, one, he competed in so many, and two, that he won his last race, which was the Cox Plate. So... He in Lindsay Park's history, he's a much loved horse, and I know it was Tony McAvoy's best horse, and I think he rates him as one of the best he's ever trained as well.
And of more recent times, you had a superstar horse in 2015 Criterion run here in the Cox Plate, and just happened to come up against one of the greatest we've ever seen, and probably the greatest we've ever seen, and also an international in Highland Reel on that day. What are your memories from that day, and kind of the first time that they went up head to head, and what she kind of did on that day here?
Look, he was terrific. He got off the came out of quarantine from England. Ben was looking after him. And he won the Caulfield Stakes, which is a very good lead-up to the race. So we came to the meet confident he would run well, but Winx was in the race. And as you just said, she's an immortal, really. And he actually didn't have the best of luck and should have actually finished a lot closer. Wouldn't have beaten her, but he got blocked between the 600 and the 300. And then kicked up on the inside and ran away from Highland Reel. And Highland Reel, subsequent top-rated horse in the world. And then after that, he ran in the Melbourne Cup, got blocked again, and ran third carrying a record weight. So he was a very versatile, another one, bit like Fields of Omar, a little bit underrated, but outstanding.
WS Cox Plate obviously has a proud history, 101 years. What have been some of your favourite editions of the race?
I love Dulcifies. I'm a bit one-eyed, a bit biased. I thought Maccabi Diva's win was exceptional in her year when they all fanned out across the track. I had 3 of them that she was running past, but that was a great race when they were 10 wide on the bend. You don't see that very often, all Group 1 horses. My most frustrating Cox Plate was Superimposers, because Better Loosen Up was coming back from a bow tendon and got badly blocked in the last 50 metres and ran 5th, and I believe was just about to hit top gear. We protested 5th against Let's Elope, 2nd, who was beaten a short half head, and it was upheld. So that tells you the stewards thought the same. I went home and... really was shattered that night. So that, and that was a great Cox Plate. Naturalism that had the spectacular fall in the race. Probably my saddest Cox Plate, but probably it was one of the best if you take personal views out.
And now to, I guess, present day, the boys have taken over the stable. Now you've got all three. You had Ben and Janie, obviously, and now Will's added himself to the stable too. How proud are you to see those guys doing what they're doing at the moment? And obviously they've had some great results with Mr. Brightside recently. And we're hoping to see him again here in the 2023 Ladbrokes Cox Plate. How proud are you of the boys, and how much you love seeing them doing it in partnership together?
I'd probably get more pleasure out of them winning races than myself. They were tipped to fail when they started, and a lot of people, when Tom went to Warrnambool, Sheikh Hamdan died, and I went to Hong Kong, they had the rug pulled out from them, and the hotel, Lindsay Park, was at 40% occupancy with staff leaving, good horses, Group 1 horses. So they were tipped to go pretty bad, and I think they've surprised a lot of people, and they're going a lot better than people expected. And, they're entrenched as a leading stable in Victoria, so that makes Prue and I very proud.
You mentioned staff would have been an issue, and owners possibly as well. What's been some of the advice that you've given the boys on their journey?
Right at the start was place your horses in the worst company and put yourself in the best. And that's what they did with Brightside, who hopefully we'll see here in late October. They resisted temptation and went through the grades rather than jumping up in class. And then the other wins followed. So I'd say if you're following the Hay stable, look for their progressive horses going through the classes, because they really place them cleverly and get the wins while they're getting educated rather than putting them in too deep.
And Lindsay Park itself has been described as a bit of a horse heaven. It's a wonderful place for horses to be trained, and we've heard it's a great place for a staff party or two. how special is Lindsay Park to you and the family? And can you explain what it's like to our listeners who haven't been there?
Yeah, look, Lindsay Park, Lindsay Park, South Australia, was built by Dad, and it was an iconic property. I took the view when I was in Hong Kong round one that if Lindsay Park was to continue as a training centre at the size it was, it had to be in Victoria. So I did something which people thought I was crazy. I sold Lindsay Park, South Australia, and bought Lindsay Park, Euroa, from a cattle farm, and built it up to, I might be one-eyed, but I think it's the best private training centre anywhere. It's got all the facilities, the beautiful gallops, the hills, and it's getting the results now over the last, 10 years. I was just in the canteen yesterday looking at the Group 1 wins. You tend to forget. So it's a hamburger with the lot, basically. It's got the swimming pools, the treadmills, the veterinary service, the float services, the round gallops, the uphill gallops, grass gallops. So you can do the lot there. So I've been in the off-season from Hong Kong. I've spent a bit of time spying on the boys just in the background. And you really appreciate it when you're training in the concrete jungle of Hong Kong to come back to the beautiful – and the day paddocks, the fencing. It's just a beautiful place.
Just back to Mr. Brightside quickly. Ben and JD have often described him as their better loosen up, although not quite as good. Was he ever on your map, or did the boys always take him as their horse?
Well, funny story about him. We took a view when we were resetting that we would buy proven horses rather than yearlings, because they had to get winners quickly to keep the ship afloat. And Mr. Brightside was one that was bought. And I actually put my hand up and paid for him and then forgot about it. And a couple of things, I went to track work when the hotel was at 40%, and I came back and I quietly didn't tell the boys, but I said to Prue, "Oh, it's got to be a tough time. I just didn't see a good horse there," and then went back to Hong Kong. But in amongst them was Brightside, who's a nondescript horse, much like Better Loosen Up, who I totally overlooked and didn't see, even though I'd paid for him, and the boy's job was to sell him down. And anyway, I watched him win nicely at Geelong. He was in my colours. Thought that was good from Hong Kong. Didn't take much notice, but it was one of their first winners. Then he won at Sandown, and Craig Williams was really talking him up big time. And I rang JD, I think it was, and I said, gee, that was good. Well done on your first winner, guys. I said, how much of him do I own? And they said, donuts. So they did their job so well, they sold him down, but friggin' hell, I wish they didn't. He's won $9 million, I think, now. He's just been a wonderful horse for them. And I actually think this prep will be his golden prep. He's been well managed. They resisted temptation at the end of last prep and just went, Cox Plate's our race. So if he runs the 2,000, he'll be one of the favourites.
And I guess back to you and your journey. You're now living and training in Hong Kong and you've obviously hit a ground running over there. What's that transition going back over there been like for you?
Much tougher than round one. I went as a 32-year-old with four children under five. It was a lot it was probably a colony that was run by London. It was an English colony. And this time I went back just with my wife. Kids are all over here, of course. Sophie as well, helping the boys. And it's a colony that is Beijing-based now. It's the Chinese. So the language barrier is getting greater all the time. And we hit COVID and were severely locked up for 3 years. So the business of racing is very good in Hong Kong. And through COVID, it was horrendous, being locked up. Now it's starting to open up again, the city of Hong Kong. So maybe ask me in a year's time. But I think round one, I enjoyed more than round two. But yep. COVID is a huge factor.
And just quickly for listeners, can you just explain a bit of the dynamic and how different it is over there training in Hong Kong? Obviously, they only race twice a week in season.
Yeah, look, as a trainer, it's wonderful. You walk to work. It's like living probably at Mooney Valley here and walking to the races. You only race twice a week. The minimum stakes about 240,000 Australian, and the average stake is about 350,000 Australian. So every race, there's no Ballarat Benalla Maidens. It's just full on. The betting is about, they're averaging about 1.2 billion Hong Kong a meeting, which is much bigger than a Melbourne Cup day. So it's quite intense. It's when you're having good runs, it's wonderful. And when you have a run of outs, it's painful. It's very hard. But it's a tougher training environment, incredibly competitive. But if someone got the opportunity and got invited, I would say give it a try. It's a pretty special place.
This lastly for you, what does the future hold? Is Hong Kong something that you've still got going for a while and you're going to continue pursuing that, or is there plans to come back at all anytime soon?
No, there's no plans to come back. I think it's really worked, giving the boys clear air, and they're getting the, recognition of their success. It's interesting, when they won the Doncaster with Brightside, Ben had trained 17 Group 1 winners with me, but they treated it like it was his first. And that just said, wow, that's a great thing. Now they're getting the credit it's due that it's them training him, not me. And so probably I'll finish out my training career there, and I'll one day might come back and be a bit like Dad's role he did with me, just be in the background as the chairman.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Well, thanks, David. Thanks for coming on, and good luck with the new season when it starts up back in Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's only 20 more sleeps.
Thanks, David.
Kingston Town can't win.
Bone Crusher and our Waverley Star, stride for stride.
Cometh the hour, cometh the legend. Winks has done it.